Oh, I need more than that. Yeah. Well, everybody, congratulations on 12 weeks of hard, dedicated, faithful participation in Grow Track 2. Huh? This is a given. You see this? What we got to put up with? All right. I'm going to have to warn Mark about you. So want to thank God first for the amazing work he's done in everybody's lives and for just growing everybody, growing. I've seen the growth in here and the hard work and dedication you guys have put in. I want to encourage you guys to take next steps. We got a holiday coming up. We've got downtime coming up. I want everybody to just be encouraged. Take time during this time. Take all the things that you've learned in here and continue to apply them, whether it be from fasting, prayer, to soap, stay in the Word of God over the holiday, and just continue on spending time with the Lord, and just pray. Take time and pray. Ask God, what are my next steps, God? Where do you want me to serve? Where are you calling me to? So that can look very different. Becoming a table host and starting point, Grow Track 2, Grow Track 1, becoming a group leader, a ministry dream team leader, joining teaching, training, hosting in the spring, continuing to take next steps. We have a lot to cover tonight for this last night. I just want to remind everybody that we have the Dream Team Party coming up on the 24th. That's from 6 to 8. Yep, all one of y'all. I don't know. I know most of you are serving. And if you have not gotten a link yet, please let me know so I can send y'all a link. So y'all can. You have to RSVP by the 19th. Grow Track Party is next week. Please do not forget. It's at 7 p.m. in the chapel. Everyone is invited. We will be celebrating all the successful, the completion of the Grow Tracks and your accomplishments through Grow Track. We're going to be playing games, giving out awards, and just having some really fun time. I cannot believe that they're not having me sing up in front of Grow Track. Sign up if you. We have sheets at every table. I know some of y'all signed up last week. We encourage y'all to please sign up if you have not signed up yet to bring something next week. Okay, so OneServe. There's a OneServe sheet on your table. And so what this is, we want you to get involved in our OneServe opportunities coming up this Christmas. So we're going to be hosting 5 different Christmas experiences. It's on your sheet, the dates and the times. OneServe is an opportunity for you to try out for a dream team if you're not currently serving. If you haven't served in a while or are interested or available to help serve in any capacity for a Christmas experience, I'm going to tell you guys, I love serving at Christmas here. It's going to be packed. There's going to be a lot of people coming up here. So if you feel led, and I would encourage y'all just to take that next step, dip your toe in the water and just sign up. This is not a permanent thing. If y'all would like to just sign up for one night, we are encouraging everybody to sign up. Maybe the goal is to have 2 Sunday services, and then there's 1 Christmas service, and that's the goal. If you cannot absolutely do that, we understand. That's no problem. So we want to encourage you to do that. That's about it. That's about all I've got for today. So we're going to jump into tonight's teaching. But before we do that, we're going to offer you the opportunity to come up and give a testimony on your experience in Grow Track 2, what God has done in your life through Grow Track 2. So y'all feel free to raise your hands and come on up. And if you're not comfortable with coming up here, I can bring the mic to you. Does anybody want to share with the class? James, you want me to bring the mic to you, or are you good? All right, fantastic.
So coming into Grow 2, James asked me if I wanted to be on the dream team. I'm on the dream team for it, but I'm also a student. I've been sitting back there learning as much as the rest of y'all have. and absorbing everything that I could so that I can be a better follower in Christ and so that I can be a better member of this church and to be, I don't want to say role model, but that's the only word I can think of. So role model for new Christians and people who come to this church. I've learned a lot about how to study the Bible. Before, I didn't really know how. I would just kind of like flip through it. If I saw something I wanted to read, I would read it, but I never really had a purpose. And with the stuff that I've learned through this class, as well as with Grow One, I've learned how to more diligently and purposefully read through my Bible, and it's actually helped me. I actually have, and this is, I am very forgetful, so I have alarms set on my phone for 6:30 in the morning, 6:30 at night, and 12 in the afternoon, all of those for Bible study and prayer time. It's my private time where I go to the bedroom, I go off to a quiet place, and I read the Bible, I pray, and I spend time with God, and it's helped me a lot. Has it been perfect since starting Grow 2? No. Has it been fun since starting Grow 2? Yes. And I want to thank James. He showed faith in me to allow me to be on the dream team, even though I'd never been through Grow 2. And that was actually a huge confidence booster for me. And I appreciate that. And my wife as well. Same thing. There were some days where I was sick as a dog and didn't want to come up here, but she dragged me kicking and screaming, and I enjoyed every minute of it. So, but thank y'all for going through Grow 2 with me, and I appreciate it.
All right, give him a hand. Chandler, we got Chandler.
Hey, so this is actually my second time through Grow 2, and mainly because the first time when I went, I was actually very hard-headed, and I was, I knew everything, you know? I don't need Grow 2, I don't need this, and I honestly never really gave Grow 2, like, the option or the ability to speak into me, because I just had a bad attitude the whole time, and I wish, you know, I would have given a little more, you know, attention, but ever since going through this Grow True, it's been Grow Track 2, it's been, honestly, it's been very comfortable every single week. I haven't made it every week, but the weeks that I come, I know I can always, I have something throughout the week that I can come and it gets me lifted up and, you know, I get to be around a nice atmosphere where people, you know, can share their stories and, you know, we go through the Bible and I haven't been keeping up with the reading plan, but for what I have been reading, it's been good. But it's, I've been serving in other areas and I think Grow Track 2 has really, really gave me some good ammunition for what I'm doing in my other areas with reaching with our leaders and our young adults especially. It's just, you know, it gives me something to really base off what I believe, and it's been very helpful, and I just want to, you know, thank the leadership, Justin and James and everyone else who spoke, you know, like Courtney. I think I missed the night with Talia, and, you know, that's my luck, but yeah, anyways, but, you know, I just want to thank you guys for serving and doing everything that you guys do, and it's greatly appreciated in my life, and I'm really excited. I'm going to Grow Track 3, so I'm going to do that, but yeah, anyways, thank you.
All right, give him a hand. Anybody else? This is not going to work, guys. Not going to work. Michael?
Man, I would get called out on the last night. How are y'all doing, guys? My name is Michael. I've been coming to the church for about 14 years. And Pastor Cameron, he came in, and we sat down, had a conversation, and at that time, I had been pouring out and pouring out and pouring out, and then he was just like, hey, man, I'm going to give you the option. I'm going to give you the option to go get fed. Like, during the busiest time for you, come get fed, you know, take that time. And that was so important. So coming to Grow Track 2 filled that in for me. It fed me so much. Just, like, some of the stuff I knew, but just getting reevaluated in it and reinitiated into those core values and saying, like, hey, this is why it was important to you. And then getting it refed into me and saying, like, hey, you just need this again. Remember how important this was to you before. It's just as important now. So it was awesome to be able to do that. And such a great class and great speakers. Justin, you've been pouring out every week, so we appreciate that. So, yeah, I mean, that's what it's been for me. It's been just a growing experience of getting refed and just rebuilt up. So it was awesome. Thanks, guys.
See, dude, you talked about talking about 5 or 6 weeks ago. That's why I chose you. So, well, anyway, guys, anybody else want to share real quick? All right, fantastic. Here, I'll bring it over to you.
Okay. I didn't intend to say anything, but grow to and this church, period, all the classes that are here and available, we're just so blessed and so lucky. Grow to has been bolstered my faith and built me up so many times over and over again in this church and the people here. And if it weren't for Timber Creek and everything, I'm not sure where I'd be. And I'm just very thankful and blessed.
All right, guys. Yeah, just so personally, on a personal level, you know, I've gone through this class several times, but I love how the Lord speaks to me every time I come through this class. Whether whatever role it might be, there's something new. God is always giving something refreshing to each and every one of us. And I want to encourage y'all to take everything y'all have learned. Again, I said this a while ago, but it's so important. Take it, take what you've learned, because you're going to be going on to Grow 3, and let the Lord continue to stretch you spiritually. And that may, you know what, it may be painful at times, but it's all for the better. So, but anyway, guys, we got another teacher, one more teaching to go through. I'm going to introduce our amazing, wonderful speaker, Justin Lindsay. Everybody give him a hand. He's been such an amazing teacher.
All right, all right. So one more trip over tonight. How that rhymed. You didn't find that funny? Okay.
Couldn't hear you without the microphone.
Oh, I said, all right, all right, all right. I said, let's see what I'm going to trip over tonight.
See?
There we go. All right. So, I have to say this before I get into the teaching. We are teaching. I am getting to teach on one of my favorite topics. One of my favorite things is studying the Bible, on the Great Commission. And but just personally for me, I have truly enjoyed this experience. I have, when they asked me to do this, I jumped all over it. I mean, I just love opportunity, but I didn't realize what I was going to get out of it. I didn't realize the connections that I would make with people. And I truly, when I, the first thing I remember, the first thing that I said when we started was, we're going to do this thing like a family. And I meant that. And I some of y'all, my connection with y'all has grown. And thank y'all for allowing me the opportunity to sit up here and yammer. And thank you for allow my imperfections to, to hopefully inspire you in some area of your life. And I just, I'm humble at the opportunity that God has allowed me to teach in this class. So thank y'all very much. But week 12, when we started, I was like, there's no way we'll ever get to week 12. Something will happen, yeah. But it's flown by. Has it flown by? It's flown by for me, you know. I mean, I can't believe we just got through with our encounter retreat Sunday. And I come out of that, and I look back, and I was like, I cannot believe this is over with. I'm excited about the break. I will say that. But I told this to the team a while ago, and I want to say this. We need rest. Rest is important. I've learned that more this past year than I have any time in my life, because I've never rested. I have lived my life just as fast and furious as I can, but I've got to a point where I realize and understand just how important rest is. But the other thing I've learned to realize is connectivity with Christ. Connectivity with our people is important. And we don't have a problem staying connected outside of church, because you got Thanksgiving, you got Christmas, you go do things with people and family and friends and all of that. But there seems to be a tendency to disconnect from our studies and disconnect from the Word of God when we walk away from the grows and the stuff like that, just because we don't have it that week, or I'll get to that tomorrow. And that's what I really want to make sure I petition to you is we're going to talk about the Great Commission. But in order for the Great Commission to happen, in order for us to truly keep doing what God's called us to do, we can't go through the grow tracks and then take a break. You know, we can't go, well, I'm going to take these couple of months off. It doesn't work like that. because the enemy, I promise you, he's not taking a break. And so I want to challenge you to do something. This has really been on my heart. It's been on my mind. It's changed the way I study. Find a topic in the Bible. Whatever that topic may be. It could be something as simple as the word holy. It could be as simple as the word love or peace. And take that one word, that one topic in the Bible, and devour that topic in your study time. And what happens is it narrows your mind down, or your, and it kind of gives you tunnel vision, and you say, all right, I'm going to really dig into this one word right here. And so I'm studying glory, God's glory, and as I begin to unpack God's glory, it has blown my mind. I mean, I've spoke of His glory for years, and I realized that there's so much more to it. And what it's done is it's given me a hunger to know more about this topic. And I know that's where God has me right now. So I challenge you to find a word in the Bible. Maybe it's hope. Maybe it's despair. I don't know. Whatever it may be, whatever word that God illuminates, and study that topic in the Bible as you're on this break. And what it's going to do is it's going to make you hunger for more knowledge about that, because as you begin to unpack it, you're going to see that the Bible has a different interpretation and a different meaning and more layers than what the world ever says about the topic of love. Just say love. Because in love in the Bible, it's displayed several different ways. There's agape love, there's the wrong love. And so as you unpack peace, and peace can be delivered, it can be received, it's an action, it's also a mindset. And so I just challenge you to pick a word and study it, and watch your hunger for the study of God's word grow. Because what happens is when you focus on that word and you focus on that topic, there's something in us that just makes us want more. Well, I didn't know that about it. What else is out there? And as you begin to study it, you'll look up and your caloric intake spiritually will grow, because you'll be so enthralled and so consumed by wanting to know more about that topic. It's like picking a Netflix TV show. Okay? You find that one, you watch it a couple episodes, and if it ever hooks you, you're hooked. You don't care if you sleep. You don't care if you eat. You don't care if you like to work. You don't care if you're in traffic. You're going to watch that next episode because you have to know what happens. You got to know. I know. I'm the world's worst. The world's worst. I told you how about Netflix. I got to fast it all the time because I love it at work. And it's that next one that hooks you. Well, that's what the Word of God does. When you find that topic and you begin to see what God's take on it and how Jesus used this and that, here's what hooked me. If somebody told me, it was Pastor Todd, you told me this. We were talking about God's glory. And she said, it's one of the words for it is weighted. And I said, weighted? Like, she said, it's heavy. And I said, so I began to, and it calls God's glory a blanket. So as I began to study this, I was like, oh my gosh. I've heard and spoke this word. There's books everywhere across my desk now, because I have to know more about God's glory, how it applies to my life, and how I'm supposed to use it to glorify Him. And so I encourage y'all to do that. That's not in your notes. But I encourage y'all to do that. I promise when you come out of it, you'll see the power in it, and then you'll enter into Grow 3 with a new hunger and these next step thing. But so let's get into this week's teaching, or I'll be here all night. So we're talking about the Great Commission. The Great Commission is what we do. It's God saying, here, this is your calling. This is what I'm commissioning you to do. It's that fist pumping. This is what I built you for. Let's go. I love that, because it's purpose. I am a purposeful person. Give me a purpose. Give me a reason to do something. Don't just tell me to do something. Tell me why I'm doing it. Well, God tells us why we're doing the Great Commission. Look at this. Matthew 28:18-20. It says, therefore. What does therefore mean? You know how I'm about those words. And so if you go back and you study the before of therefore, it's basically because of who God is. It's because of who he is in us and because of what he's done and because of his mission, because what he is petitioning us to do. That's what this therefore is. Because of this, this, and this. Because Jesus is I, and he has done, and he deserves this, this, and this, and he has called us to this, this, and this. That's what that therefore means. So therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. There's action. Remember we talked about responsibility and privilege? There's a responsibility right there, guys. That's our responsibility. Go and make disciples of all nations. This is baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And it says, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you to do. Who's them? Who's the them? Who's the them? Say it again. Who's the them? The law. Hey, that's why we're here. That's what we're here for. That's what Jesus went after with a relentless pursuit was the lost. The lost should be a relentless pursuit in our life because they're lost, because they don't have a clue. And if we don't show it to them, and if we don't disciple them, and God doesn't want this just for some people. It says, go and make disciples of all the nations. God wants this for everybody. And it starts here. It starts in our home. Then it goes to our communities, our schools. And this is why missionary work is so important. The gospel is meant to be spread to all nations across the world. And it is our responsibility and our job, and God has commissioned us to do it. Here's our first fill in the blank, and I love this. First fill in the blank. It says, we all know that this text is referred to as the Great Commission. Notice that it is not called the Great Suggestion. This isn't a suggestion. God doesn't say, hey, if you feel like it, go make disciples of some of the nations. And if you have time, baptize them in my name. And if you see fit to it, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's a suggestion. This is a commandment. This is God saying, this is what I built you for. This is why I have Grow Track 1. This is why I have Grow Track 2. This is why I have Grow Track 3. This is why I have Encounter. This is why I give you the Word of God. This is why I give you the ability to read. This is why I give you the ability to absorb knowledge. It's so that you can know me more, so that you can take this power within you that you possess because of me, and you can go and take it to all the nations. That's a big responsibility, wouldn't you think? That's a big calling. And if we're not here for that calling, if that's not our purpose, our purpose is wrong. Because we've received. We have received the precious gift of salvation. Everybody in here has received the precious gift of knowledge because all of y'all been through one. All of y'all been through two. Okay? And when you come out of two, there was probably a little secret that they didn't tell you coming into it. Now there's more of a responsibility on you because you're graduating. When you graduate this, yeah, it's congratulations, but it's also congratulations. Oh, yeah, by the way, here's some more responsibility. Here's a higher calling. Here's a higher level of expectation on your life. Because you're just growing in ministry. That's what you're doing. You're growing. Every time you come through one of these classes, you grow closer to your gifting that God has put into your life. And when you come out of Grow 2, you have a level of expectation to begin to apply what has been instilled inside of you. I have 15 guys that work for me in my paint shop. And it doesn't matter when I hire a new hiree how much about paint work they think they know. It doesn't matter how much paint they've sprayed, what body shop they've worked. It doesn't matter. They're going to start at ground zero, and I'm going to pour my knowledge into them that I've done for 20 years to obtain a goal that I know how to obtain, that I hold the keys to. All right, I'm the manager. I'm the boss. I'm the final say at that shop. I hire these guys to be trained to do. But once they get that knowledge inside of them, I don't send them somewhere else. I don't say, okay, You take that knowledge and you just hang on to it. I don't teach them to paint and they just keep sanding. I don't teach them to paint and they just keep sweeping the floor. When you learn to paint, it's time to paint. When you get the knowledge of this business inside of you, it's time for you to take that knowledge that we've applied and that this company has poured into you with resources, and now it's time for you to make a difference in this company. Well, Grow 2, it is time for us to make a difference for the kingdom, because the kingdom of God has poured resources into us, myself included. He has poured resource and time and energy and finances and electricity and books and literature and all of that. And he says, all right, enjoy your break, because it's time to go to work. Well, that time to go to work starts tomorrow. It starts at the serve one. It starts that if you're on a dream team of serving at the church, it starts with these next steps. Your next steps do not start in Grow Track 3. Your next step starts tomorrow. That's when your next steps start. So what does the word commission mean? It says a group of persons directed to perform some duty. We have a group of people in here. Yep. 61 of y'all graduating. Biggest class ever in Grow 2. Give yourselves a hand on that. Yeah, 61. Now there's 61 of y'all who should be doing more for the kingdom starting tomorrow. That's the way it works. 61 of y'all should start doing more for the kingdom starting tomorrow. So this group should make, I didn't tell y'all this. I probably should tell y'all this week. One, most of y'all would have left. I told Talia and Pastor Stevens, I'm going to tell you what, the group that's coming out of Grow 2 is going to impact this church bigger than any group we've ever seen. I said, because I told y'all, there were no potential failures in here, nothing but potential leaders. And I believe that wholeheartedly. That this group coming out of Grow 2 into Grow 3 and what God's going to use you for, if you make yourself available to God's calling and you're willing to take those next steps on faith, God is going to use this group to impact this church in a major way. You watch. You'll be hand in hand, elbow to elbow, deep in ministry and serving with a lot of your brothers and sisters in here, and it is going to be powerful to watch. I get the opportunity to serve with some of y'all in here. It's powerful. I love it. I love it. So in Matthew 28, the group of persons is the church of Christ, his bride. Yes, we are the bride of Jesus. We are the bride of Jesus. And it says, we have been given a task, an appointment by Jesus Christ himself. I don't know about y'all, but when Jesus Christ gives you a task, you probably ought to do it. He kind of has this thing figured out. When he gave the disciples a task, all right, here's a perfectly good task to give them. When the Holy Spirit was just to come, I'm sending someone to help you. He said, go to Jerusalem. He said, and wait. That's your task. Wait. Wait. Don't do nothing. Don't go nowhere. Don't preach nothing. Don't try to heal nothing. Don't try to run over here and go fishing over here. Just go and wait. That was their task. And then when Jesus appointed them their task, and then when Jesus showed up to do what he did, Pentecost, 3,000. Peter preached the sermon at Pentecost, and 3,000 instantly came to God. He's told y'all for 12 weeks, hey, y'all guys, y'all wait. Y'all sit right here. Absorb this. Absorb. Now he's saying, all right, now go. Now go. Go out to all the land, all the surrounding lands of Judah, all the surrounding lands of Angelina County and TCC and your family, and spread the gospel of Jesus. That is our duty. You should tell someone about Jesus Christ every single day in your life. I don't care if it's the mailman and you've told him 50 times. It doesn't matter. Tell someone the good news of Jesus Christ every day, especially in your actions, especially in your walk. You can tell the good news of Jesus Christ while you're getting gas. The greatest pulpit you'll ever stand in is public. So the greatest pulpit you'll ever stand in is the public. Getting gas at the grocery store. It may be helping a friend out. I don't know what it is. There is something you can do to show compassion, can show love, and show the holiness of being set apart and being a higher, having a higher level of expectation in your life for the kingdom every single day. And when you do it and you're faithful with it, then God gives you a little more. And then he'll give you a little more. And then he'll give you a little more. And you begin to make those waves and those impacts. Just imagine if, let's just say if half of y'all, I'm going to believe on faith that all 61 of y'all are going to make an impact, but just say 31 of y'all shared the gospel with Jesus Christ tomorrow. And just say 10% of those people said, you know what, I'm going to check this thing out. That's six people. That's six people. That's six people that make that may show up at a Christmas service and say, all right, what do I do? Six people, and out of those six, just say 50% of them. Just say that three of them come in here and give their life to the Lord. It says that the heavens rejoice when one comes home. Last Sunday, one of my friends, well, she's a greeter in Nacogdoches, and I'm going to tell you the power of actions in the gospel. She was standing there holding a greeting sign at that campus. And the Holy Spirit prompted her and said, hey, walk out to the road. She walked out to the road and just held her sign up. A car stopped, pulled into the parking lot, and it was a little old lady. And she told this individual, she said, the reason I stopped is because you're wearing blue jeans. And I knew that it truly was a church anyone could come to. And that woman walked into TCC last Sunday and gave her life to the Lord. Yeah. Hey. Great commission. That's the Great Commission. That's the power of what God says to God. That's being a disciple right there. Discipleship doesn't mean standing behind a pulpit and preaching. It doesn't mean being on that stage singing. Discipleship means going out and spreading the good news. That's all Peter and them did, was spread the good news. That's it. Peter didn't have a church. He was the church. And he spread the good news everywhere he went. If Peter was here today, if he was pumping gas at Bolero tonight or Conoco and using them Brooks's points, which is a ripoff, but I still do it because it makes me feel good. I guarantee you, yeah, I ain't nowhere near close to being done either. That's all right. This is important. If someone was to pull up in that gas station, I guarantee you, Peter would just, it's just a, hey, brother, how you doing today? It may just be a hello. Generosity, compassion. That's the Great Commission. That's what it takes. It's making a difference in someone else's life, no matter what it costs you. And it doesn't cost you much standing at the grocery line and just helping someone pick the groceries up off the bottom basket and setting it on the conveyor belt and saying, have a blessed day. That's Jesus in action, which is the Great Commission. All right, we got to go. Our specified duties are to continually reach the lost, dying, and hurting. Do y'all know how many people are lost, dying, and hurting all around us? How many of us in here have been in a place in our life where we were lost, dying, and hurting? All of us. Some of us may be in here hurting right now. Okay? But it is a continual cycle. That is what we're called to do on a daily basis. And I promise there's not a day goes by unless you lock yourself into your house that you don't go out in public and encounter someone that is lost, someone that is dying, and someone that's hurting. I promise. It's the continual cycle of the Great Commission. First, Christians need to seek after lost souls. Number two, they need to lead them to the Lord. Number three, Christians then have the great responsibility of teaching and discipling the new converts. And number four, and it says finally, the new, is that too fast? I'm sorry. They're on the. I'm sorry. But they're not all on one thing. Okay. You need me to back up? Because I'm going to cover them all at once. One, Christians need to seek after lost souls. You got it? Number two, they need to lead them to the Lord. Number three, Christians then have the great responsibility of teaching and discipling the new converts. Number four, finally, the new disciple Christians then need to begin seeking after lost souls. Thus, the cycle starts all over again. How do we seek out lost souls? How would you go about tomorrow seeking out lost souls? Everybody in here knows someone that's lost, right? That's right. There's not a person in here that can't sit here and think of someone right now that's in their mind that they're not 100% sure that they're not you're sitting there thinking somebody right now that you're not 100% sure that they have salvation. You start right there. It's a phone call. It's a text, messenger, however you communicate. That's seeking lost souls right there. Seek the lost souls you know. Be faithful with what you know, and I promise you, God will put them in your pathway. Trust me, He cares that much about them. You know who God is illuminating in your life right now, and if you don't make that step to reach out to that person starting this week, I just want to remind you something. That's disobedience. That's disobedience. Number two, it says I need to lead them to the Lord. It doesn't say drag them to the Lord. You will not force someone to come into relationship with Jesus. Jesus never forced anybody. It says to lead them. Lead them in love. It may take forever. Lead them in love. Lead them in compassion, understanding. But lead them in truth also. You can't tell them what they want to hear. You have to tell them what they have to and need to hear, but out of love. You can tell someone the truth that goes against everything they believe in and do it in a compassion and generous way to where they feel love from you. You never want them to make you feel, you never want anyone to feel critiqued, criticized, or ridiculed. Compassion. Jesus did everything by leading in compassion and love. That's how you lead them to the Lord. And then it says Christians then have the great responsibility of teaching and discipling the new converts. Hey, this is not teaching a sermon. This is teaching them. Hey, if you're sitting there saying, well, how do I teach someone? John 3:16. Write that down. John 3:16 and Matthew 6:33. Those are two of the most powerful verses in the Bible that you can show someone and says, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what God did. God sent His Son so all of us prisoners can be free. And the only thing you have to do is believe in Him. Most powerful scripture in the Bible. And Matthew 6:33 says, how do you do this Christian life? Put God first. He takes care of everything else. Let's start there. Well, how do I put God first? What do I do? Invite them to church. Invite them to church. France. Invite France to church. Friend, relative, associate, neighbor, silly, enemy. Invite them to church. That's what you do. It's about opportunity. We are opportunity creators. We create the opportunity by inviting them, by pouring it. God does the saving. He's pretty good at it. Let Him do that portion in the heart. But we are responsible to create opportunities. And I can tell you there is not a church better on the planet than creating opportunities for the lost here. But I tell you what, if the people of the church don't invite them and don't bring them in, that's our responsibility. That's Great Commission. That's going out, find the lost, bring them in. Jeremy will teach them. And number four, it says, finally, the new disciple Christians then need to begin seeking after lost souls. So, I got Chandler here. I invite Chandler to church. Chandler comes and says, you know what? This really is a church that we can come to. Maybe I'm going to fill out one of these little cards and say, I'm thinking about this thing with the Lord. I call and check on him next week. Hey, brother, how you doing? Just wanted to check on you, tell you I loved you, and remember, church starts at 9:30. Could I take you to lunch after? Do you need a ride? There ain't many people turn down a free lunch. And if it gets them to church, I promise you, it's worth that $6-7 you'll spend. If you don't have it, find me. I'll give it to you. If I can write them a hot check, I don't care. We'll get them fed. But then he comes in the door the next time. And before you know it, now Chandler is beginning to feel comfortable. Now Chandler's beginning to say, you know what? This wasn't a hoax. This was, they really do care about me. That person at the door, look at the smile on. They begin to see the generosity of the people within the church. And before you know it, this person gives their life to the Lord. And before you know it, all of a sudden, Bonnie Rome's got her hooks in them and her starting point. Yeah. And before you know it, they're teaching Encounter. And they're teaching Grow Too. That's what happened to me. And they're teaching and preaching in different churches. And God's using them in a mighty way. They never would imagine in their wildest dreams to reach and impact people. And it's because, you know what? It's because somebody took the Great Commission seriously. And they didn't suggest it to me. They commissioned me by leading me. That's powerful. And we all have that responsibility on our calling right now. Right now. And so that person that led me to a relationship with Jesus, now I was like, I better tell somebody about this good news in my life. And I began to tell people about the good news in my life. And those people begin to tell people, Jennifer Cougar, one of my best friends. It's amazing. I talked to her about the church a long time, haven't I? Now she's a coach. Now she tells people all the time. I can go on and she's not here tonight. Amy Seaman. Now, if y'all knew the story behind that, I'm going to show you the power of the Great Commission. Her dad was a Baptist preacher for 50-something years. Okay, she's been in church her whole life. I didn't commission her for salvation. I commissioned her for freedom and purpose. She just come out of Encounter. She just come out of Grow 2. She just turned in her church membership here and is ready to serve. And she said, I never knew the power of being free in Christ until I come through this place. That's the Great Commission. Her purpose. God is beginning to reveal to her purpose. That's powerful. And you know what it took? 13 years. I have loved her. My wife has loved her. My family have loved her. She has loved us. We've been through good times and bad times. And when God put this passion in my life, I began to speak into her life. And for the past 4 years, I have compassionately and loving spoken into her. And my wife has, and other people have. And she finally stepped on the campus. And I remember her sitting in that church service. And I looked over, tears running down her face, because she realized there was more. If somebody wouldn't have sought her out, she could still be living in pure bondage right now. I take that responsibility serious. Grow too, that responsibility falls on you now. It is your responsibility to reach the lost. It is. And if you don't do it, I just point blank, it's pure disobedience, because that's what God created us to do. I know I went over a little bit on that, but this is the calling on the rest of your life. From today forward, this is the calling on the rest of your life. Doesn't matter how high up in ministry you get, this is the calling on the rest of your life. So let's do some group work. At the tables, we're going to answer two questions. Why is it important to reach the lost? What happens if the cycle stops? And go. All right, do we have any? So just to take a couple. Does anybody have anything like unique on why it's important to reach the lost? Anything unique? He was raising the roof. I don't think he was raising his hand. Does anybody have anything unique? No? Then why is it important to reach the lost? Yeah, that's right. What else?
Because they're our family.
That's right.
We do
what
we need to for our family.
What else? There's more. What's it? Why is it so important?
If we don't, who will?
That's very good. If we don't, who will? Think about this. You think about this. We ask, why is it important? Why is it important to reach the lost? Because God looks at the lost just like He looks at us. There is no gap. The only gap is a different expectation on us, but as far as love, there is none different. So you look at your children, right? There's no way I could love my children differently than I couldn't. And imagine that agape love that I'm talking about earlier. It's a perfect love that God has for all of His children. And if He created us for that, I think the responsibility that falls on us, but the privilege that if we even get to have one portion of influence on leading someone to salvation, we get to add to the pleasant aroma and the pleasingness that God has in our life. That's powerful. That does it for me. To know that if just a simple conversation with an old friend to say, hey, brother, sister, how you doing? He's on my mind. I just want to let you know I love you. If there's anything I can do to help you. And if you don't have a church home, hey, man, I'd like to invite you to Timber Creek. And amazing church has changed my life, and these are times of our service. If it got them in the door, if it gets them across that threshold and God changes their life, did you know the reward that comes? Do you know the reward that comes even if they don't reply, even if they never come to God, the reward that comes just from being obedient in the commission? Just so you can know that God says, good job, son. Good job, daughter. That's powerful. That's powerful to me. So the second one, what happens if this cycle stops? What happens if the Great Commission stops? What happens if I quit inviting Chandlers to church and Chandlers quit receiving the Lord and quit going out and inviting new people? What happens if the cycle stops? It stops. The church as we know it stops. When the old saints are gone, that's it. Can you talk about a world of depravity? That's it. So if you think for a second that you do not make an impact as an individual, you are hugely wrong. Because what if every individual thought like that? Then the cycle would stop. It's just like voting. If you don't think your vote matters, your vote matters. That one vote matters. That one phone call to that lost person matters as much to God as it does when 10,000 receive a call. He leaves the 99 for the one. He cares just as much about that one that you may connect with, that you may get into church, that you may have an influence on receiving salvation. He cares just as much about that one as some big, huge stadium full with hundreds of thousands of people hearing the Word of God. His heart does not change. His heart, he does not have more joy for the 100,000 as he does the one. I know he doesn't. So you are significant. That's the reason why it's in the Word of God. If it wasn't in the Word of God, if it's in the Word of God, it's significant. So that's if the cycle stops, we stop. Okay? That's good. They will. That's so good. That's right. That's. Did y'all hear that? It's a form of praise. It is. It's a form of praise. If there was an endless a bank that said you can come by here and get all the money you will ever need for eternity, and tell all your friends about it. It'll never run out. They'll never dip into yours. It'll always be there for all of y'all. All you have to do is come through the drive-thru and say, I believe. You would tell every person you knew, everybody. Well, we have that. It just happens to be for eternity, and it happens to be for something way more precious than money. Way more precious than gold. way more precious thing than anything that a bank can ever deliver to you. It is eternity with our Creator. It is relationship with our Creator. It is freedom and power and purpose and hope and healing with our Creator. I'll take that over a dollar bill any day. I'll write him a hot check. So ways to participate. Live out your faith. We talked about that a while ago. Live out your faith. Live out your faith. Whatever that might be. Hey, I'm going to tell you, faith takes some grit. It takes some grit to live out your faith. When things don't look quite like you need them to, okay? When the cards are stacked against you, you think, and you think the world's crumbling around you, and I'm not going to make it. There's no way I can do this. It has a tendency to change the way we act out. It says to live out your faith. People shouldn't be able to see your walk and say, boy, that joker right there is struggling. Because that says that we have faith in something that can't suffice us. But when you stick your faith in something that truly meets your need, it doesn't matter if you have money or not because you got Jesus. It doesn't matter if you have this or not because you got Jesus. It doesn't matter if it doesn't matter if your health ain't exactly where you want it because you got Jesus. Because here's the great thing. They cannot take Jesus away from you. Jesus wants us to get to this place where he says, you know what, take it all. Because you can not take life from me because it dropped. Take it. Because when you take it, I'm going to be sitting in glory with my Father. Take my money. You didn't put it there in the beginning. The greatest resource of all. See, we get so tied to putting our faith in the resource versus the resourcer. Jesus says, put it in me. And you walk out that faith. Even if you are putting $3 worth of gas to get to that next destination, put that $3 in there faithfully. Go to where God's called. Now, don't go somewhere you ain't got to go. Okay? You ain't got to be driving all around town trying to be cool. You go to where God's called you to go. It may be a Sunday morning service. And, hey, stand in faith that God's going to provide you to get from point B to point C. And he'll do it. I promise you. You may have to swallow a little pride to receive the blessing that God gives you, but I'm going to tell you what, pride, I am the most ex-prideful person you'll ever meet. I hung my hat and everything that I existed on in pride. I told them, I said, ask my wife, I've told them for years, y'all can't eat me. You may kill me, but you can't eat me. I hung my life on pride for years, and it got me nowhere. Nowhere. When I begin to understand humility and meekness, power under restraint and humility, and reverse economics and the way Jesus operates, I begin to see just how much pride weakens us. How much it weakens us. It says, share your story. Your testimony is your greatest witnessing tool you'll ever have. Your testimony. Your testimony will reach people that my testimony can't. You've dealt with things in your life that I've never dealt with. Sam, you've dealt with things in your life I'll never deal with, sister. And you can reach people I'll never be able to reach with your story. That's powerful. But in your story, make sure that whatever you do, when you tell in your story, that God gets the glory for the good. Don't give someone a big sob story and then try to lead them to Jesus. All right, that's not what it's about. You got to show them what God's done in your life. And even if everything doesn't look real good, I promise you there's good in your life. That's what you got to show them. You got to give them hope. You got to show them hope. You got to display hope. You got to display that peace and that faith. Now, you can tell them, you know what, hey, I've been through this, and this is where I'm at in my life right now. I'm in a place where I'm not 100% sure of what's going to happen tomorrow. But I'm okay with that because I know who's in control. And they'll ask you, what do you mean by that? How can you not be scared they're going to cut the electricity off tomorrow? Because I'm faithful. Because I give. What do you mean you give? You give tithes? You give money to the church? You can't pay your electric bill? Yeah, I do. But my electricity's never been cut off. because God takes care of me. That's living out faith. That's your testimony. There's been a whole lot of times I'm like, all right, God, I'm going to take that last $5 for that generator up. Keep them freezers going. Electricity never been cut off. I've never went without, ever, ever. Now, I've had to swallow my pride and take some help from some people, you bet. But I tell you what it's done is I quit looking at it as a handout, and I started receiving it as compassion. And when you begin to receive things as compassion, you begin to receive it differently. And what it does is it creates a compassionate heart in you to pay it forward when God blesses you. It's the ongoing motion of the Great Commission. Number three, participate in outreach and other opportunities to reach the lost. Hey, we got that here, buddy. If you said I just don't know how to get plugged in, come see me. I promise you, we'll put you to work. We got something you can do. I promise. We got that. Timber Creek has something you can do. Trust me. Participate in outreach. Sign up for an outreach dream team at Timber Creek to learn more about opportunities to reach the lost. We have a ton of outreach opportunities. They do the thing at the airfield and Alvin Vanderlis. You want to know anything about outreach? Talk to Pastor Alvin. But hey, they got outreach opportunities. There's opportunities to connect with people here. You may be down in New Orleans at Mardi Gras, staying in an old busted up gym on the floor, sharing the gospel to people that may want to kill you, that may want to pour beer on you, that may want to pee on your feet. I don't know. That's the truth. But hey, that's ministry. I know this is being recorded, but if you're not willing to be a peed on, you're not willing to be a ministry. That's just the truth. Yeah, hey. I'm telling you, don't sign up for the accolades. If you're signing up for the accolades, you're going to be thoroughly disappointed. But there is nothing greater in this world to be able to lay your head down tonight and know you made a difference in someone else's life for the kingdom. There's no greater reward ever because you can lay your head down in peace. And it says, live out God's call on your life. It says, take advantage of opportunities here at Timber Creek Church to pursue and develop your God-given potential. We've talked about it. Everybody has them. Everybody has God-given potential. If you don't know your next steps and your God-given potential, come see me. I will point you in the right direction. If you feel the need that you're called to be in missions, I can point you in the right direction. We have mission trips. If you love to mow, we'll find you a yard to mow. If you love to cook, I promise you, Timber Creek will get you to cook. Matter of fact, I got an opportunity. If any of y'all want to help next Sunday, just give me a call. What I'm saying is God's put gifts in all of our lives, and He did not put those gifts in your life to glorify yourself because they're gifts from Him. He put those gifts in your life to glorify Him. And when you glorify God, the peace that surpasses all understanding that infiltrates your life when you begin to glorify God and all you do is unexplainable, to the point where every step you take, all you want to do is see God praised and worshiped and the glory give to Him because you begin to realize that He is the only one who deserves it. He's the only one who deserves it because if I ever begin to receive praise and someone comes and thinks they're going to put their hope and trust in me, Lord help them. I will disappoint you so quick. I know. I disappoint myself all the time. And if I disappoint me, I know I disappoint you. All right. We're going to do this next group work. 8:06. I am 3 minutes off time. Next group work, discuss this at your table. What is God asking you to do? And what next steps of obedience will you take to live out the Great Commission? Hey, this is important. Don't just write something down, seriously. Be honest with yourself. Don't put on here, what is God asking you to do? Preach next Sunday morning. God ain't asking us in here to preach next Sunday morning. He's got a pastor. We've got Not you, James, he's not calling you. Put your hand down. You're not going to get on the stage and sing. Okay? But seriously, what is God call, what is God asking you to do? It's that thing inside of you going, I ain't going to say God. That thing you're going, oh, really? I don't know about all that. What's he asking you? And hey, what is the next step of obedience? What is your next step of obedience? Y'all can go ahead and start on this because I'm going to talk throughout it. I just kind of want to stand up here all goofy like. On your next step of obedience, it doesn't have to be a leap. It's just a step. So remember that. What's your next step forward to Christ? And go. All right, guys, we're better. I love how interactive you are being on this. But we got to wrap it up. Hey, James. Sound like y'all are having some pretty good discussions. Anybody have major revelations of what God's calling them to do? Anybody have any questions about what God's calling them to do next? Huh? Growth 3, there you go. Go to Growth 3. Hey, Growth 3 is awesome. I'm here to tell you, Growth 3 is, it's powerful. It's powerful. But listen, hey, remember now, don't leave your responsibility at that door. You got to take it with you. So listen, groups start next semester, January 26th. Write it down somewhere. That's where groups start. Listen, y'all have now completed the necessary requirements to teach and lead a group. Yeah. There you go. There's you some responsibility. Y'all have now met the requirements to teach and lead a group. Now, James doesn't need to be leading a singing group. Hey, but starting January 26th, I've been waiting for this announcement. I haven't revealed it to nobody, but I will be giving private tennis lessons. Yeah. Okay? They're free. And I took out some insurance. So, it's going to cost us something, I promise. I know it's going to cost us some pride and shame. I promise you that. So groups start next semester. Hey, launch. Hey, seriously. I would encourage you pray about what God's calling you to do in a group. I started in groups. And I'll tell you what. Some of the most powerful sessions, some of the greatest relationships that I have today that I call best friends started in groups. They are so powerful. There's so much power in small connectivity. It's beautiful. Anyway, I encourage you to do that. And then it says we'll be sending out group leader information to everybody before the end of the year. And they will if you sign up to do this, you will have the opportunity to get signed up and join us for a group leader training in January before semester's launch. Hey, this training is powerful. I've been through it twice. And the training really sets the basis. So you're not just walking in. If God leading you to lead a group, you're not just walking into this thing blindfolded and not knowing what to do. They have an amazing training. And they'll be sending out all the information. So if you want to sign up to teach a group, sign up. Sign up. And then last thing I want to say before I get out of here is I want everybody in here to know that y'all are ready for this. Some of y'all are already doing it. But if you're sitting here thinking, oh, man, I can't, there's no way I can do this, you're ready for this. God has equipped you. And, hey, this is walking in faith. This is. The very first group that I ever taught was a spiritual warfare class. I've always loved spiritual warfare. And I encountered an individual in there that was going through, Jared Waller was in that class. That's been, what, 3-4 years ago? And I experienced a guy in there that he had gone through one of the most horrific things I've ever seen. I got to lay hands on him, praying God allowed me to feel his pain. And it was one of the most crippling, humbling things I've ever experienced. Changed my life forever. And there wasn't like 4 or 5 of us in this group. And then 4 or 5, out of the 4 or 5 of them, some of them are my very best friends today. And I can tell you, it's that led to teaching another group, and then it led to me getting to do the men's group. And, man, we've had, 15, 20 in here on the men's. He was part of my men's group at one time. And I think Jeremy come to him some. But we had an amazing, amazing just interaction and filling up and fellowship time and in our groups. And, man, it is so powerful. To be honest, I miss them. I miss the group portion of it. It's just there's something so powerful about when you get connected. And listen, just know that you're ready for it. Do not allow the enemy to try to steal an opportunity for you to say you're not ready for this. I'm going to close this in prayer, guys, and get y'all out of here. Hey, it's been an honor. I have loved doing this with y'all. I hope to get to do this more, but it has been an honor. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you have prepared us and give us every tool that we need, God, to take our next step. God, you know what our next step is, whether it be leading a group, whether it be getting in a group, whether it just be going to Grow 3, Father, whether it be serving on a dream team, or, God, whatever it may be going to, it may be going to seminary, Father. It may be teaching in classes, going to the teacher training. I don't know, but you do. And, God, I just pray that you lay heavy on their heart, the calling on their life, God, so that we can continue this great commission, God, and that circle doesn't break. And I just pray, Father, that you instill in us a passion and a hunger and a relentless pursuit, Father, to chase the loss. God, to go get that one that's run off from the 99. God, just make us relentless for you. Make us relentless for your calling. And God, we just thank you for the relentless relationship that you pursue in us. God, empower this class. Thank you for the opportunity, God, to be your vessel. God, to be your speaker up here. But God, I just thank you and give you all the glory for everything transformational and good that has happened in this class this semester. It all goes to you, Father. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.